Let's just pray. Father God, I just thank you for just the great opportunity just to be able to dig into your word. I thank you, dear God, that you're using me as an oracle, as a vessel to impart just wisdom and knowledge into these precious and wonderful people. I declare, dear God, that everybody's eyes are sharp, alert, and attentive, that they are open to receive what thus saith the Lord, so they could grow and we can grow and go from glory to glory. I declare no weapon formed against us shall ever prosper, but your grace, your love, your compassion is upon us to be able to do exactly what you call us to do. That's walk in the fullness of our authority. So we thank you and we honor you for this now in the powerful, magnificent name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Amen indeed. So I get an opportunity just to be able to just minister the word of God today, predicated on the whole armor of God. With the authority that has been bestowed upon us is a distinct calling assignment. We are called to be soldiers. Our assignment is to destroy the works of the devil. God, just like a natural and just like a natural soldier, we have a specific uniform and weaponry designed by God to use in fulfilling our assignment. A uniform that must be worn, properly worn, if we are to gain the greatest benefit from our authority. It is the armor of God. Armor is described as the armor of righteousness and armor of light. However, Ephesians 6 verses 10 to 18 describes the makeup of our armor using a first century soldier to illustrate. My wife and I had the privilege to visit Ephesus on a tour in 2016. And we were able to look at the history during that period when Paul was there. And during the time that Paul was there, when he wrote this letter, he wrote it to the Ephesian church while they were living in a pagan environment at Ephesus. I want to read Ephesians 1. Verses 1 through 3 is not on the screen, but I want to read that. I want to start off with that first. It says this: Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Do you have any that's the faithful in Christ Jesus? Great, great. And if you're not, you'll have this opportunity to be able to be a part of this amazing family at the end, or even right now. Grace be to you and peace from God, our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be God, be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who have blessed us with all spiritual blessings. Remember that. With all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So, when, you know, it's just like going in battle, right? We have, when you're going in battle, you have certain tools that's at your disposal that you can actually use. So Paul was speaking to the Ephesians church, encouraging them and telling them that stand your ground, encouraging them that stand your ground. Ephesians 6:10 tells us that, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. So Paul was encouraging them. He said, you know, we have to be confident that you will come out of your situation, whatever obstacles. God is bigger than any problem, obstacle, assault, attack, or challenge you may be facing by the trick of the enemy. So when we look at this, the writer considers this to be very extremely important. Hence, the reason of climaxing the letter with this information, it is not based on rooted on in our might or ability. Before you put anything on, be charged within, stabilized, and unmoved in the face of any assault. You know, I give you an example. I grew up in New York. I came to New York from Ghana, West Africa, when I was 5 years old. So I grew up in New York for all my years in elementary school, junior high school, and I remember after graduating, we had a cousin of mine that lived in Ghana all his life, accustomed to the heat. And he had a chance, now he has the opportunity to come to America, United States. And he came during a time when it was cold, winter time. Don't you know that, you know, when you lived in a hot climate all your life, and you come into a new place, and that place is cold. Trust me, he did not like it in the beginning. And it's funny because every time I used to go to Ghana, they always look at America and call it America little heaven. So everybody wanted to come here to have an opportunity to be able to come here and have an opportunity. And so he had the opportunity to come, but he had a lot of circumstances that was going on where it was during the winter time, snow, storms. And I remember us giving him, you know, he has a hat, he has gloves, he has a coat, various items that he can actually use to be able to go outside and see the beauty of a new country that he just moved into. And just like what with this armor, what we're going to talk about the armor of God in Ephesians 6:12, it says that, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." So we have tools at our disposal. And those tools are here to help us to combat anything that the trick of the enemy will throw our way. So we got a reason why I wanted you guys to look at Ephesians 1 verses 3, because when we talk about, we have to look at the root of the problem when we're looking at a problem. I'm a professor, so I always tell my students, whenever you're doing research, let me look at your reference to see where you got the information from. Because the right information can hurt you, but the wrong information can help you. So with that, we got to understand, who are we wrestling against? Who are our enemies? Because when we know that, it's easy to be able to utilize the tools that we have at our disposal. So our enemies are not people. So when we look at it, our contention is not against men or women. Therefore, our armor is not designed for them. Our enemy are spiritual forces that are Antichrist anointed. So when they say Antichrist anointed, when we look at where it says there are darkness of this world against spiritual wickedness in high places. In those high places is where our blessing is. We just read that. Those high places is where Jesus is. And we're seated on the right hand. So we have authority over those places as well, too. Our angels are there. So it's just like, you know, I have a doctorate in information systems and communications. So it's just like this. Over here, we have a Wi-Fi. And that Wi-Fi modem gives Wi-Fi capabilities to any device that has a signal, but you have to have a password to be able to utilize and be able to get outside, which is the internet, and be able to communicate within this network environment. We're in that environment. We have the option and the opportunity to be able to speak onto things, and we have the authority. But, and that's why Paul is encouraging us, put on the whole armor. So if you can put on the whole armor, that means that you can have you could be partially dressed as well too. So Ephesians 6:13 tells us, therefore take up the full armor of God, that when the evil day comes, you may be able to withstand the attack, and having fought to the end, still to stand your ground. So what is the evil day? That's what you got to ask yourself. It's any attack against you by the trick of the enemy, not by people. The trick of the enemy uses people. But you got to understand the root of the problem. People focus on people, but you're not focusing on the root of the problem. Give you an example. I have a neighbor, and 2 weeks ago, not even 2 weeks, probably a month ago, he's been telling me, man, I've been having problems sleeping. It's just something is going on with my body, and I just don't know what's going on with my body. And he was working on Saturday 2 weeks ago, and just felt really like he's about to fall out. So he goes to the doctor, and they run these tests. And after they run the test, everybody goes to him and then asks him, how did you get here? And he said, I drove here. They said, you have blockage in your heart. And you're lucky you came, because if not, you would have had a heart attack. So they had to do surgery on him. And, he comes to me and said, man, I got a new life now, man. He's excited now. Why? Because they found out the root of the problem. And they were able to attack the root of the problem and fix the issue. So there's a great emphasis on completely outfitting yourself, because obviously there's a great potential to step out partially dressed. Understanding who we war against, we must be fully arrayed. This armor fortifies you in the evil day. So the evil day is any day where you are susceptible or prone to an attack. Until you can relax and never have to deal with this Antichrist spirit again, then in that regards, every day is potentially an evil day. There is still a criminal on the loose. So what is an evil day to you? An evil day could be an attack on your body by the trick of the enemy. Attack on your finance by the trick of the enemy. Attack on your family by the trick of the enemy. So that's what the evil day is. So in Ephesians 6, verses 14, Paul tells us take your place than having your body clothed with the true word and having put on the breastplate of righteousness? Back to that story that I told you about my cousin. He had a coat to wear that could help him sustain the colds of New York City and the storms. He had a hat to wear. He had gloves to wear where he didn't have to be cooped up inside, but he had all the resources to be able to combat the storms and things going out there so he could be protected. But it was up to him if he wanted to go out and wanted to use those pieces of clothing that he had at his disposal. Even if he would have went out and he just put on a coat and he didn't want to put on a hat, he's still missing some pieces of that armor. Losing some pieces that he had available to him to sustain various things. So when we look at the first piece of the armor, which is the girdle of truth, the truth is the word. You know, whenever you dress, you work from the inside out. The word is the closest thing to your body. Lions represent your soulish realm. It is what gives you support and security and makes every other component of your armor functional. Just like a Roman soldier, every other piece of the armor attaches to it. It's the most important piece of the armor and the most must be put on first. To put anything else on beforehand is to render your armor to be ineffective. This represents possessing a clear understanding and revelation of the word. I always look at it as this. You know, those that have been here for some time, you know the difference between truth and facts. Truth is not a what, but is a who. The truth of God's word. Facts can change at any time. Every year, there are facts that change. I have a doctorate in information systems, so I run data, and there are facts and things that change constantly. But the truth always remains the same. So you got to ask yourself, what is truth to you? Because we follow what is true to us. This is the truth to us. The word of God. God's perspective on any issue, regardless of what circumstance, situations, outcomes, whatever. But what tends to happen is man gives their point of view on things, which brings a distortion of what the truth is and hurt other people. So that's why you gotta look at it. The truth is not a what, it's a who. Give you an example. I remember last year with COVID 19, there was statistics data stating that it's more prone for African Americans to be able to be affected with it. So that was facts based on data. And if you let that drive you, that could be a difficult place to live. Even if you were a white male and you look at that and you felt, okay, oh, I'm okay. That's still a difficult place to live. Why? Because you're basing your truth on what other people say. You're basing your truth on what the facts says, not what God says about your situation. So there's a difference between truth and fact. So in order for a Roman soldier to bear his breastplate, it had to be hooked to his girdle, which is righteousness. Righteousness is a covering and protection for your vital spiritual organ. It is the most notable part of a soldier. When he would enter the room, it was what he led with. So I always look at this. Once you know the truth, then you understand the right from wrong, which brings righteousness. The wrong information can hurt you, but the right information can help you. Disinformation can have you thinking information is true, but it's not. It's only there to provide a distortion, to kill, steal, and destroy you. That's all it's there to do. So that's the difference between truth and facts. Because when you know the truth, then you understand the righteousness. Your righteousness is not based on the works. It's based on the blood of Jesus, his finishing works, what he's done already for you. You're not trying to be righteous. That's works. So we stand out of bounds. So now when the trick of the enemy comes with situations and circumstances, we're like, okay, you have somebody that gives you the wrong information of saying that because of what you've done, this is what is attacking you. That's wrong. But when you know the truth, then you know right from wrong. And you know we live, that we have an amazing Father that's there to protect us. That you know that is not by works, but it's about the finishing works of Jesus Christ, of us accepting him. And we know right from wrong. So Ephesians 6, verses 15 says, and your feet should the preparation of the gospel of peace. Woo, I love peace. There is rest for your struggle. You can only do this by being connected to the word. Where you have peace during your storms, everything is going wrong, but you're still smiling. You know, it's that peace I leave with you. Peace is when things and circumstances are happening by the trick of the enemy, but you're still worshiping God. You're still singing the worship song. Say, I love you, God. I thank you, God. You are amazing. You have this peace and calmness that is upon you because you know you already came through. It's done already. You won. And when you don't have that peace, you're opening up the room or the door for the trick of the enemy to be able to steal, kill, and destroy. So be confident. Be confident. Be confident. And one of the things, you know, when we look at the first three that I mentioned, right, tools of the weaponry, it really talks about to be, being connected, to be. That means you have. And then the other three, to pick up, to use. So these three that I just spoke about, you should be doing already. You should know already. So your feet represents the part of you that make you mobile, that transports you from one place to another. Now, as we move from one place to another in our lives, we are to be prepared to distribute this gospel of peace, which is really the irony. And shud just means to tie up or bound up. So let's look at Ephesians 6, verses 16. It says, at every onslaught, take up faith for your shield, for with it you will be able to extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. So a shield of faith in who God is and what he has already done. We cannot second guess his word. Faith moves you closer to your destination. You must walk by faith. Why do they call it flaming darts? Because the flaming darts, when it's hit at you, spreads and brings illusion. So you may be attacked one way, but now you're just going through so many variants and looking at this and looking at that. Give you an example. I have a neighbor that his son caught COVID. So what does he do? He's researching everything on the internet. So now he's speaking all of this negative stuff upon him, saying, man, this is going through my body. Psychologically, I can't. One dart, flames. Now you're looking at this, looking at that. The trick of the enemy is trying to get you. So it says, above all, in terms of position, not importance. This is a full armor, shield, door-shaped, intended to keep you and the rest of your armor in good condition. The law of usage says your armor will be weakened the more blows it takes. We weren't designed to take onslaughts against our righteousness breastplate. Our righteousness is our esteem. When our righteousness is in question, there comes a supernatural, spiritual insecurity, lack of confidence. We are not sure of ourselves, what we are, what we can do, how far we can go. This is why your faith shield is so important. You need to protect your internal armor. We cannot afford to doubt and question what God says about us for 1 second. Once we question the word, there is nothing to hang anything else on. The entire armor becomes unstable. So your shield is guaranteed to stop any darts, thoughts, suggestions, imaginations of the enemy. As long as you keep the shield of faith up, then Isaiah 54:17 is true for you and me. We win. So faith, what is faith? I mean, if you look at Hebrews 11, it talks about, you know, we look at the Faith Hall of Fame. It tells you about what somebody did and what has been accomplished. One thing I like about faith, it moves you. There's a definition that Pastor used to describe faith. He says, internal persuasion, conviction, and reliance upon God. That becomes your proof of ownership of something that you currently can't see. So you may not be able to see it, but it's yours. That's why in that realm, in heavenly places, where you have your blessings, it's about what faith are you in to overcome these obstacles or these challenges. Faith moves you. It's an action. So let's look at Ephesians 6:17. And it says, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the spoken word of God. Woo! The helmet is also connected to the girdle. When in combat, a wise soldier never takes his helmet off. And if by chance you are hit with such force that it just got a guard off, you won't lose it when you attach it to your girdle, which is the word. It's ultimately our head connection to the word that produces our salvation. The sword is the spoken word, which is rhema. The revelation of the word is our girdle. But the spoken word, spoken out of our mouths, is our weapon. It is only offensive component to our armor. And if that is all he gave us, then that is all we need. It is effective in either hand combat, close range, or confrontation from afar. It cuts any direction. So our mouths is a weapon. What we speak, God's word. So Ephesians 6:18 says, pray with unceasing prayer and entreaty on every fitting occasion in the spirit, and be always on alert to seize opportunities for doing so with unwearied persistence and entreaty on behalf of all God's people. Prayer. See, verses 18 continues the sentence from verses 17. It is the spoken word of God through prayer. You're asking God to intervene on this earth on your behalf. There is a strong emphasis here on prayer in the spirit. So if we look at it, every piece of the armor is connected to or directly related to the word of God. Therefore, the believer is nothing without the word. But once you are arrayed completely in God's armor and weaponry, there is no demon in hell, earth, or any other place that can slow you down. Notice, every component of your armor is frontal and for defensive purposes. Why? That's what you got to ask yourself. Why? Because God never intended that you should retreat, but always advance, and at worst, stand your ground. The enemy should never see your back. Fear, doubt, discouragement, self-pity, murmuring, complaining. When you get over into these areas, you relinquish your confidence in the word, and rather than trust in it to sustain and preserve you, you've reverted back to a civilian mentality, thinking that your wits, strengths, or efforts can get you out of your fix. You just gone AWOL. So it is very important to understand these tools that's at your disposal. And how you utilize them is very important in critical times. All right? I mean, so let's just stand. I mean, let's use this tool of speaking God's word. Let's use this tool of prayer. Father God, we thank you for just Your word that is a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our pathway. You're the source of everything. We declare no weapon formed against us shall ever prosper. We declare we are healed from the crown of our heads to the soles of our feet. No weapon formed against any area of our lives. We are the head and not the tail. We are above and never beneath. We are the salt of this earth. We are the light of this world. And we take up our shield, every aspect of it, from the truth of your word, from knowing a righteousness because of the truth, and the peace that you have given us, that we just worship you because we know we win. Father God, we thank you for just the faith. We stand strong in the faith. We thank you, dear God, for the righteousness. Yeah, we're righteous by the blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, we thank you, Father, for all elements of it, dear God. Our faith, what we speak, everything is connected to this. So we thank you for the illustration that Paul has used, that we have the authority to be able to speak onto things. We thank you for this now, in the powerful, magnificent name of Jesus. Amen, amen, amen. You may be here right now where all eyes are closed, like, man, what is all of this about? It's wrapped up in one thing, a relationship. This means nothing to you until you understand what you mean to God. God gave us his best in Jesus that we can have life and have life more abundantly. And he gave us things at our disposal to be able to utilize. So I'm telling you, if you're here right now, well, all eyes are closed, you could be seated. You may be home right now. Don't have a relationship with God. I encourage you, take this step of faith. Take this step to connect with the one that loves you. Greater love than this, the man that laid down his life, that we can have more life and have it more abundantly. He loves us so much that he uses people to be able to help us in tough situations. He loves us so much that he's always running after you to add value to you, not to take something away from you. So right now, I ask, if anybody is open to receive Jesus Christ, you may be here. Anybody want to rededicate? That means, you know, I lost my connection now. I want it back. Please, just let me know. Just raise your hand. You may be raising your hand at home. I can't see you right now, but your father can. So right now, I just want everybody just to repeat after me. Dear Father God, come into my heart. I receive Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior. I believe he is the Son of God, and he died for me on the tree of Calvary, bearing my sins for me, and he's alive today. That's all. Now you have come into just the relationship with Christ, and you have, you know, you're into the family. So with that, if you did respond to this altar call of having this relationship with God through Christ, there's something that I want you to do. I want you to, in the chat, text the word decided to 954-280-2076, because we want to put a devotional into your hand. We're going to get you the electronical copy so you can know what is the next step for my life. This helps you to know who you are in Christ. So please, for those of you who are physically here, as you're exiting, you'll be able to see that book. Just ask one of the ushers or whoever, one of the leaders, about the book, and they'll put one into your hand. Thank you.